Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Chet. In the next five prakim, beginning with this one, the Rambam explains the fundamental principles of the 39 melachot. We'll see the melachot again in prakim Chaf Aleph through Chaf Gimel, where more details are added, including rabbinic extensions of them. This perek, Perek Chet, surveys the first 10 melachot, which cover the stages of growing and processing food before the final stage of cooking. Halacha Aleph. Hachoresh kolshehu chayav. Hamanakesh bi'kerei ha'ilanot, v'amekarsem asavim o hamezared et hasarigim kedei liapot hakarka, hareze toledet choresh, u'mishiaseh kolshehu chayav. וכן המשווה פני השדה, כגון שהשפיל התל ורידדו, או מילי הגיא, חייב משום חורש, ושיעורו כלשהו, וכן כל המשווה גומות, שיעורו כלשהו. The first melacha is choresh, plowing. Plowing itself involves digging up earth to prepare the ground for planting. Any action performed on the ground itself in order to clean it or otherwise improve it is a tolda of choresh, and the Rambam lists several examples. Pulling out weeds around the roots of a tree, cutting grass or small branches, and even just mashve gumot, smoothing the surface of the ground by flattening a protrusion and filling in a hole. Unlike malachot we will see later, which carry a shiur, a minimal quantity, which must be done in order to be chayav, there is no shiur in choresh, and one is chayav even for the slightest amount of any of these activities. Halacha bet. Hazorea kol shu chayav. Hazomeret ha'ilan kedei sheitzmach, hareze me'ein zorea. Aval hamashket tzmachim vilanot b'shabbat, hareze toledet zorea, v'chayav b'chol shu. V'chein hashorech chitin usorin v'chayotzei behen b'mayim, hareze toledet zorea v'chayav. The second melacha is zorea, planting. This melacha includes any action which helps something to grow from the ground. This includes pruning branches from a tree or vine, which makes the remaining branches grow better. The Rambam emphasizes here, as he said in the last perek, that pruning, zomer, is not a tolda, but rather me'ein zorea, a form of the av melacha itself, and we discuss the difficulty with this description. Two toldot of zorea listed by the Rambam here are watering a plant or tree and soaking seeds of wheat or barley in water, which causes them to sprout despite the absence of earth. As in choresh, there is no shiur in the malacha of zorea, so one is chayav even for performing any of these activities on a very small scale. Halacha gimel. Hakotzer kadrogeret chayav, v'toleish toledet kotzerhu, v'chol haoker davar migidulav, chayav mishum kotzer. Lefichach, tzeror shalubo asavim, uchshut shalat basnev asavim shetzamchu al gav achavit, hatoleish mehen chayav, shezehu mekom gidulav. Aval hatoleish me'atzitz sheino nakuv patur, mipnei she'ein ze mekom gidulav. Atzitz nakuv b'chdei shoresh katan, harei ze ka'aretz, v'atoleish menu chayav. The third malacha is kotzer, reaping. The av malacha involves cutting or picking an agricultural product from where it grows, and here there is a shiur, namely a grogeret, which the Rambam defines in halacha hei to be one-third of a kibetza. As we will see, this is the shiur for all malachot performed on food meant for human consumption. If the object of this malacha is not human food, but animal food, then the Rambam says in halacha hei that the shiur is the amount that can be fed to a goat at once. If the purpose is to collect material for kindling, then the shiur of kotzer is the amount necessary to cook an egg. Uprooting from the ground, tolesh, is a tolda of the malacha of kotzer, as is any action which removes something from where it grows, oker davar migidulav. Examples of the last action include removing grass from a clump of dirt in which it grows, and pulling out grass sprouting from the side of a moist barrel. Regarding potted plants, the Rambam makes a distinction which we will see in other areas of halacha as well. If the pot is an atzitz nakuv, meaning it has a hole in the bottom of it, the size of a small root, even if no root actually goes through that hole, the plant growing in the pot is considered attached to the ground, and one who uproots any part of it on Shabbat is in violation of this malacha. But an atzitz she'eino nakuv, a pot with no hole, is considered detached, and uprooting a plant growing in it is not an act of kotzer or tolesh. In Halacha Dalid, the Rambam adds more details of kotzer. When fruit dries out while attached to the branches on which it grows, it is considered detached for purposes of tumah. Only food detached from the ground can become tummy, not food still growing. However, this is not the case regarding laws of Shabbat, and one who removes this fruit from its branch is in violation of kotzer. The explanation would seem to be that tuma applies to any food which isn't actually drawing sustenance from the ground, while kotzer depends on whether the food is physically attached to the place where it grew. Since dried out fruit is not being sustained by the ground, but is still attached to it, it can be mekabel tuma, yet still subject to kotzer. It is possible to violate both kotzer and zorea with one action, when one cuts something from the ground, both in order to use it, and in order to allow what remains to grow better. The classic example is zomer v'tzarich la'itzim, pruning branches with intent to use the branches. He wants the branches, so this is kotzer, but he's also pruning, which we've already seen is a form of zorea. A clump of dirt with grass growing in it is subject to both of these melachot in opposite cases. If one takes this clump from the ground and puts it on some elevated pegs, then this is kotzer, because he has removed the grass from the ground. But if he takes this clump off the pegs and puts it on the ground, this is zorea. The fourth melacha makes its appearance in the middle of halacha he. Ha-ma'amer ochalin, shiro kagrogeret. V'im imer livhema, shiro kimlo pigdi. V'im lahasaka, shiro kidei levashel beitza. Me'amer, the fourth melacha, means to collect together food or pieces of wood, and here again, as in kotzer, the shiur of the melacha is the minimal usable amount for the purpose of the act. A grogeret, if the food is for human consumption, the amount eaten in one bite by a goat, if it is for animal consumption, and if one is collecting firewood, then he is chayav once he collects the amount needed to cook an egg. The Rambam adds at the end of this halacha that ma'amer applies only to gidulei karka, things which grow from the ground. So for instance, it isn't ma'amer to collect a number of papers or items of silverware which fell on the floor. However, unlike several other Rishonim, including Rashi, the Rambam does not limit ma'amer to the specific place where the gidulei karka actually grew. And so he includes in halacha vav the cases of pressing figs or dates together or stringing them along a piece of string as examples of ma'amer. We pick up the text of the Rambam in halacha zayin. Hadash kagrogeret chayav, ve'ein disha ela begidulei karka, v'hamefarek harehu toledet hadash, hacholevet habehema chayav mipnei shehu mefarek, v'chein hachovel b'chay sheyesh lo or, chayav mishum mefarek, v'hu sheyet sarich ladam sheyetse min hachabura. Aval im nitkaven lahazik bilvad, patur mipnei shehu mekalkel, v'eino chayav ad sheyeh badam o b'chalav shehotzio kagrogeret. The fifth melacha is dash, threshing. This means pressing down on the shell of the grain in order to remove the useful kernel inside from the shell surrounding it. Here again, the shiur is a grogeret, as this melacha is done on human food. And the melacha applies only to gidulei karka, as we just saw regarding ma'amer. A very important tolda of dash, with much broader application than the av melacha itself, is mifarek, or taking apart. This refers to any situation of removing a liquid from inside a solid, and we'll see three examples in this and in the next few halachot. The first is milking an animal, cholev. Here, an immediate question arises. The Rambam just wrote that the melacha of dash applies only to gidulei karka, so how can mifarek, a tolda of dash, apply to an animal? The Magen Mishnah suggests that an animal qualifies as gidulei karka because it lives on plants which grow from the ground. And this is an idea which we find in other areas of halacha too. For example, money obtained from redeeming Maiser Sheni is supposed to be used to purchase gidulei karka food. And this may include meat of an animal. Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam suggests a fascinating alternative answer in one of his tshuvot. It's true that the av malacha of dash applies only to gidulei karka, but the tolda of mefarek does not have this limitation. One's initial assumption may be that any tolda of a malacha is subject to the limitations of the av, but in fact the opposite may be true. A tolda is an activity which is conceptually similar to the av malacha, but applies in a different setting, and so it lacks the limitations which come along with the setting of the av malacha. In our example, it only makes sense to speak of threshing an agricultural product, but the act of mefarik, removing a liquid from within a solid, can apply to anything. The second example of mefarik is chovel, removing blood from an animal or a person, or even just causing the blood to gather under the skin, meaning a bruise or contusion. Here the Rambam emphasizes two points. First, chovel applies only to animals which have skin, or, as only in such animals is the blood considered to be absorbed in the body and subject to the malacha of mefarek when it is removed. Animals which have skin include all large land animals, behemot and chayot, and the eight rodents, the shmone shratzim, listed by name in Parshat Shmini in the context of the avot hatumah. A dead sheretz, if it is one of those eight, imparts tumah in a manner similar to the nevela of a larger animal. But smaller bugs are not considered to have skin in which blood is absorbed. Rather, the entire bug is seen as blood collected inside a shell. It is not mefarik to remove this blood in the same manner that it isn't mefarik to pour liquid out of a container. The second point about chovel is that if it is being done only to hurt the animal and not for any productive purpose, then this act is mikalkel, and therefore, as we saw in Perek Aleph, one is not chayiv for this on Shabbat. The way for chovel on an animal to be an act of tikkun rather than kilkul is if one wants to use the blood which comes out, say to feed it to another animal. But in Halacha Chet, the Rambam adds an entirely different way in which chovel can be mitaken. B'med dvarim amurim, b'chovel b'vheimah v'chayah v'chayotzei b'hem, aval ha'chovel b'chaveiro, af al pishin kaven lahazik, chayav, mipnei nachat rucho, sh'arei nitkara dato, v'shachacha chamato, v'arei hu kimtaken, v'af al pishinu tzarich l'adam sh'otzi mimenu, chayav. If one wounds a person, and not an animal, and in doing so vents his anger at the victim, this is considered a tikkun on the part of the assailant because it calms him down and assuages his anger. The Ravid objects strongly to this, with the words, Kama niflaim dvarav umatmihin asufotav, how stunning are his words and how astounding his suggestion. There is no debate that hitting a person for this purpose is absolutely forbidden. We'll see this much later in the Mishnah Torah. The Ravid draws the logical conclusion, also supported by his reading of the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kufhei, that a forbidden act cannot possibly be considered a tikkun. But the Rambam reads that Gemara differently and sees no contradiction here. The act of wounding another person can be entirely forbidden, and yet it is objectively a tikkun for Shabbat purposes because of its calming and soothing effect. We'll see two more examples of this opinion of the Rambam and the dissenting view of the Ravid in the coming Prakim. As the Aruch HaShulchan points out, most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam's Psak in this case for a more basic reason. The inherent purpose of dash or mefarik is to use the inner liquid or object extracted from the outer shell. So hitting someone for the purpose of venting anger with no use for the blood is a melacha she'na tzricha l'gufa. We saw in Perek Aleph that the Rambam accepts the view of Rabbi Yehuda that one who performs a melacha she'na tzricha l'gufa is chayiv, while most other Rishonim accept the view of Rabbi Shimon that he is Pater. In summary, the Rambam's Psak here in Halacha Chet is based on two assumptions, neither of which is universally accepted. One, that Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayav, and two, that injuring someone to vent one's anger is objectively considered a tikkun. The third example of mefarik, after milking an animal and drawing blood, is squeezing juice from fruit, as the Rambam explains in Halacha Yud. Hasochet et haperot, chayav mishum mefarek, ve'no chayav ad shiye b'mashkin shesachat kagrogeret, ve'ein chayavin min haTorah ela al drichat zeitim v'anavim bilvad, u'mutar lischot eshkol shel anavim l'toch ha'ochel, shemashke haba la'ochel, ochel hu, v'nimtza kimfarek ochel me'ochel, aval im sachat l'chli she'ein bo ochel, harei ze dorech v'chayav. V'acholev l'tocha ochel o hayonek befiv, patur, v'eno chayav ad shiachlov l'tocha kli. One who squeezes juice out of fruit is chayav for the melacha of mefarik under three conditions. One, as usual for food-related melachot, the amount of juice which is squeezed out is at least a grogeret. Two, the fruit is a grape or an olive. This is based on the fact that only wine and oil, the juices in these two fruits, are of sufficiently high stature that squeezing them out of the fruit is truly considered mefarek, removing an important inner liquid from a less important outer shell. Later, in Perek Chaf Aleph, when he returns to this malacha, the Rambam will introduce a further distinction between types of fruits regarding sochet. 3. The juice is not squeezed directly into food. If, for example, one squeezes oil out of an olive directly into a salad, then we view the oil as just part of the salad. And so rather than separating drink from food, the oil from the olive, the squeezing of the olive is seen as separating food from food, the salad from the olive, which isn't mefarik. This is entirely permitted, mutar, on Shabbat. At the end of this halacha, the Rambam applies this distinction to the earlier case of milking an animal. If the milk goes straight into food, or even into the person's mouth, then the one milking is patur. Why patur, meaning asur midrabanan, and not entirely mutar, as in the case of squeezing fruit into food? Because the only heter is in the case where we can see the act as separating food from food, as we explained. And a live animal, unlike fruit, is not food. Hence, the Shulchan Aruch rules that on Yom Tov, it is mutar to milk the animal straight into food, as a live animal is considered food on Yom Tov when it is permitted to shecht it. Halacha Yud Aleph. Hazore o haborer kagrogeret chayav, v'amechabetz hare hu toledet haborer. V'chein hamemache shemarim mitoch hamashkin, hare ze toledet borer o toledet merakeid v'chayav. Sha'azore v'haborer v'hamerakeid domin inyinehem ze laze. U'mipnei ma manu otam bishlosha, mipnei shekol melacha sh'aita b'mishkan monin ota bifnei atzma. We come now to three melachot which are very similar in purpose. The sixth melacha is zore, winnowing. After threshing, the farmer is left with a pile of grain kernels together with chaff, the unwanted shells. Using an implement like a rake, he tosses the mixture into the air, where the wind blows away the lighter chaff, while the desired kernels fall to the ground. The essence of this malacha is harnessing the wind to help sort a mixture. It doesn't have much practical application outside the limited context of processing grain, though the Ramah quotes the halacha, a statement of the Yerushalmi, that one who spits into the wind is chayav for the malacha of Zoreh. Achronim and later poskim have trouble understanding this psak, and the consensus is to consider it a chumrah rather than a genuine iser d'oraita. The seventh malacha is borer, separating, referring to further removal of chaff from the grain kernels even after the wind has blown away most of the chaff. After the grain is ground into flour, that's the eighth malacha, which we'll come back to soon, the ninth malacha is mirakeid, sifting out impurities from the flour. The three malachot of zoreh, borer, and mirakeid are all forms of separating parts of a mixture, and the only reason they are counted separately is because each represents a distinct stage among the malachot performed in the Mishkan, and as such, each deserves its own status as a malacha. We note in passing that these malachot were not part of the avoda in the Mishkan per se. There is a general debate among Rishonim whether the malachot were stages in the building of the Mishkan, in which case the agricultural malachot of this perek were needed for creating the dyes used to color the different fabrics, or if they were stages in the day-to-day operation of the Mishkan, in which case the agricultural malachot represent stages in making the weekly offering of the lechem apanim, the bread placed on the shulchan from one Shabbat to the next. An example of borer is mechabetz, separating from milk the harder parts which can curdle into cheese. Sifting solid residue out of a drink, like wine, is a tolda of either borer or merakeid. Halacha Yud Bet. Haborer ochel mitoch psolet, o shayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin, uverer min mimin acher, benafa uvichvara chayav, bekanon uvitamchui patur, vim berer biado lechol altar mutar, vaborer psolet mitoch ochel afilu biado chayav. The Rambam gives here, and in the rest of Halacha Yud Gimel, some parameters regarding borer, a malacha with many practical applications in food preparation. The common denominator of all the conditions under which borer is permitted is that one is allowed to eat in the normal manner of eating, but not to separate in a way which isn't part of the eating process. In a mixture of ochel and psolet, food and some non-food waste, one may not remove the psolet from the ochel at all, and it is chayiv if he does so. For example, when eating watermelon, don't remove the seeds first. Rather, bite from it and spit out the seeds while or after eating the fruit. It is mutar to take ochel from psolet, but only with two additional conditions. One, this must be done by hand, not with a kli. If someone does it using a kli, which is specially meant for a boer-type act, like a sifter or a sieve, then he is chayev. If he uses a kli capable of separating, but not made for that purpose, like a plate or a tray, then he is patur, but this is still forbidden. We note that poskim typically consider a utensil used for eating, like a regular fork or knife, not as a kli at all, but simply as an extension of one's hand. Anything done with a utensil like this could equally be done by hand. The hand would just get dirty. 2. The ochel must be removed for immediate consumption, la'altar. What is considered immediate? The Rambam writes that for later in the day, like from the morning to the afternoon, is not considered la'altar and one is chayav. The Ramah rules that when one is eating a meal or preparing for a meal which will begin soon, this is considered la'altar. In summary, the three conditions necessary to allow an act of borer are taking ochel from solet, by hand, or with a utensil which is an extension of the hand, and for immediate use. What about separating one food from another food, like taking specific fruit pieces out of a fruit salad? The Rambam writes, borer echad me'echad u'maniach lechol miyad, an unclear formulation which the Shulchan Aruch quotes verbatim. The Mishnah Berurah explains the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch to mean that the food one wishes to eat is considered ochel, and the other is considered psolet. And so he may only take out the food which he wishes to eat, and then eat it immediately. Halacha Yudalet. Hamishamer yayin o shemen o mayim, v'chein sha'ar hamashkin, b'mashmeret shalehen, chayav, v'hu shishamer kagrogeret. Aval mesanin yayin she'en bo shmarim, o mayim tzlulim besudarin, u'bikfifa mitzrit, kedei shiat salul biyoter. Filtering a liquid like wine, oil, or water to remove impurities is forbidden, and one is chayav if he filters a grogeret of liquid using a special filter meant for this purpose. If the liquid is already filtered of impurities, and one wishes to filter it again in order to make it especially clear and pristine, this is permitted, but only using some other implement like a piece of fabric or a basket capable of filtering. While the Rambam requires two conditions, that the liquid is already filtered and that some other implement be used, the Shulchan Aruch is lenient whenever even one of the two is met. That is, one may filter clear liquid in its special filter, and even dirty liquid using fabric or a basket. The remainder of this halacha discusses filtering in the context of specific foods, but we'll move to halacha tetvav. Hatochen kagrogeret chayav, v'chein hashochek tevalin v'samanin b'machteshet harei ze tochen v'chayav, v'mechatech yarak talush harei ze toledet tochen, v'chein hanoser etzim lehanot banesorot shalehen o hashaf lashon shalmatechet chayav mishyashuv kolshehu, aval mechatech etzim eno chayav ad shiyidakek mehen kedei levashel kagrogeret mibeitza. The eighth malacha, between borer and merakeid, is tochen, grinding. The original context is grinding grain kernels into flour, but one is chayav for grinding a grogeret of any food, including spices. One is also chayav for grinding wood into small enough pieces to use for cooking a piece of egg the size of a grogeret, and for grinding even a small amount of metal into shavings. The Rambam also lists here cutting a vegetable into small pieces as an example of tochen. He mentioned this in the last parak when discussing the relationship between Av and Tolda, but both there and later in parak Kaf Aleph, he adds the condition that the vegetable is cut in order to cook it. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch do not include this condition, and therefore one should be careful in making a salad on Shabbat not to cut the vegetables very finely. Halacha Tet Zayin. V'amrakeid kagrogeret chayav, halash kagrogeret chayav, v'hamgabel et ha'afar, harei ze toledet lash, v'chamashiuro, kidei lasot pi kur shel tzorfei zahav, v'ein gibul ba'efer v'lo b'chol hagas, v'lo b'mursan v'lo b'chayutze behen, v'anotein zera shumshamin o zera pishtan v'chayutze behen, b'mayim chayav mishum lash, mipnei shein mitarvin v'nitlin ze baze. The tenth malacha, and the last of this perek, is lash, kneading. This, of course, refers in general to mixing flour with water to make dough, and in that context, one who kneads a grogeret is chayav. But this malacha can apply in any situation where a solid broken into small pieces is combined with liquid to produce a thick mixture. This includes mixing dirt with water to make mud or cement, in which case the shiur is the smallest amount of cement which has any practical use, and also mixing flax seeds or sesame seeds in water. The Rambam writes that the malacha of lash doesn't apply to ashes, sand, and bran, because ein gibul, meaning these do not form a thick mixture with water even when kneaded. But the Ravid in his Asaga here, along with many other Rishonim, understand the Gemara which says ein gibul about these items to be saying exactly the opposite, They do not require physical kneading, because they form a thick mass very easily, and hence one violates the malach of lush by simply adding water to them, even without mixing them together in any way. Presumably this debate is not about the facts of the case, as anyone can mix one of these materials with water and see what emerges. Rather, the debate between the Rambam and other Rishonim is whether any thick mixture made by combining solid and liquid represents the malacha of lash, or only certain mixtures, which Chazal considered to be similar to dough. We'll see in the next perek that the Ravid considers the making of dye by mixing colored ingredients with water to be an example of lush, while the Rambam disagrees. This makes sense in light of the Ravid's far more expansive definition of lush, which emerges from his Hasaga here. The Shulchan Aruch brings both the opinion of the Rambam and that of the Ravid and most other Rishonim, and later poskim debate which one to accept lahalacha. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.